Today will be a joyful day, in case you can't tell. Welcome. My name is Terry McLaughlin. I'm happy to serve as your worship associate today. Our worship team today includes our accompanist, Jose Duran, Elizabeth Crawford, and the Diversitones. And the worship today is actually led by the Interim Faith Formation Advisory Team, including Steve Foster, Teresa Jordan, Lori Menninger, Sarah Souter, Mike Trefry, Nikki Unziker, and Warren Unziker. This team has been working with Sarah since the beginning of this interim year in faith formation. Today is particularly joyful because our children will stay with us through the entire service, except for the preschoolers who will be sung out immediately after the story.
Well, now we come to our story. And I would like to invite the adults forward. That's right, you heard it, I said it, the adults. So a half a dozen or a dozen flexible adults that can sit on the floor. Please come forward. Weird, huh, kids? This is the parents up here. Awesome. Well, men and women, we're going to have a story this morning. When you greet someone that you haven't seen before or maybe in a long time, what question do you ask? How are you? Well, I want to let you know that among the tribes in Africa, which you see pictures of right here, no tribe was considered to have warriors more fearsome and mightier than the Maasai. It might surprise you then to learn that their traditional greeting between warriors was Kasiera Ingera, which means, how are the children? Still the traditional greeting among the Maasai, it acknowledges the high value the Maasai always place on the children's well-being. When asked, how are the children? The traditional answer is, all the children are well. How are the children?
All the children.
Meaning that peace and safety, the priorities of protecting the young and powerless, are all in place. Maasai society has not forgotten its reason for being and its responsibilities. All the children are well means that life is good. It means that the daily struggles for existence do not stop proper caring for the young. I wonder how it might affect our own children's welfare if we took to greeting each other with the daily question, how are the children? I wonder if we heard that question and passed it along to each other a dozen times a day, if it would begin to make a difference in how children are thought of or cared for in our own country. I wonder if every adult among us, parent and non-parent alike, felt an equal weight for the daily care and protection of all the children in our community, in our state, in our country. I wonder if we could truly say without hesitation, the children are well. Yes, all the children are well. What if every leader had to answer the question at the beginning of every meeting, and how are the children? All the children are well. What would that be like, I wonder? I invite you now to return to your seats, except for the preschool children. If they choose to go with Kiara to their classes, they may do so.
We began our worship service this morning with these words. We light this chalice for Unitarian Universalism. This is the faith of the open minds. This is the faith of the loving hearts. This is the faith of the helping hands. Kids, raise your hand if you've memorized those words. And how many adults can recite the UU Children's Chalice from memory? Leave your hands up. Everybody, kids, leave your hands up. Keep them up if you know those words. Take a moment, look around. Everybody look around. Maybe, just maybe, our children have some things to teach us adults. On a Sunday afternoon 12 years ago, I first heard those words when I asked my then 3-year-old granddaughter what she had learned that morning in her class here at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. I was blown away by the elegant simplicity of her reply. Just think about it. Only 3 body parts, head, heart, hands, can symbolize an essential definition of our faith. That is powerful stuff. It was then I started paying closer attention to what's happening in our children's religious education program. From the beginning, this congregation has addressed religious education for children. Of those original 15 members who in 1967 signed our congregation's charter with the Unitarian Universalist Association, several were parents of young children. They undoubtedly appreciated the role of a religious education program as a way to engage faith development in children and adults and to support each other as we make meaning in our lives. During those founding years, the congregation met in members' homes. Parents would take turns providing supervised activities for the children in basement rumpus rooms while the grown-ups gathered in the living rooms above for discussions. In the early 1980s, the growing congregation acquired a house on East 3rd Avenue. The basement was refurbished as space dedicated to children's Sunday school. One member volunteered to coordinate the children's religious education program. Then in 1998, the expanding congregation moved up the street into the Smiley Building, meeting for Sunday worship in room 16 and renting additional rooms on the 3rd floor for the children's religious education classes. Again, dedicated members volunteered to coordinate a children's program. By 2006, with an adult membership of 73, the congregation had outgrown the space in the Smiley Building. Fortunately, the congregation was able to acquire this property and held its first worship service in this sanctuary on Christmas Eve 2006. Attached to the sanctuary, where there's now the elevated seating, were 3 classrooms and a cry room. And for the first time, our congregation agreed to support a budget with our pledges that allowed for a paid part-time director of religious education. Having grown to 105 members in 2015, our congregation hired the Reverend Katie Kandarian Morris as our first ever minister and then called her to service in 2016. Happily, more families found their ways through our doors, and the number of children enrolled in the Faith Formation Program continued to increase. In 2017, the neighboring house was donated, along with funds for renovation, by generous church members. Many other members contributed hours of labor to transform the Columbine House into a home for our faith formation program. Under Reverend Katie's leadership for these past 5 years, our adult membership has increased to 170, and 59 children are currently enrolled in our faith formation program. Our congregation has hired an interim faith formation director for this current year. Sarah Souter is creating systems and procedures and recommending changes that will allow our faith formation program to step up to the next level and serve even more families. I'm proud of those who came before us to help build this beloved community here at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango and for committing themselves in support of children's faith formation. They understood the role of religious education in encouraging spiritual growth, beginning in early childhood and continuing throughout our lives. They understood that we, of all ages, are bound together in our humanity, and our experience of life is enriched by young and old being together in community. Today, our challenge is to continue building our faith formation program upon this firm foundation. I have faith that our open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands equip us for this challenge. But don't take my word for it. Just ask the children.
So I'm an attorney and I speak for a living, and yet I am so incredibly nervous. And I decided to be honest with that fact because, well, here I am, nervous. I am going to share my heart with you, and that is what makes me nervous, apparently. My name is Nikki Unsicker. I'm married to Warren Unsicker. I have Henry Unsicker, who's 9, and I have Aurora, who is 6. We have been part of this congregation for just over 3 years now, and we have participated in numerous different ways. We have attended programs, and we've helped lead programs. So we really have tried to engage. But one of the things that we have struggled with, honestly, is connection. How do we as a family connect with all of you? Through the years that we have been here, we have watched a lot of young families come and go. They come for a few months and they engage and we start to get to know them and they leave. Another thing that we have begun to hear more from our children is that when we're talking about church, this place that we love and are building into, they call it childcare. Sorry. And please know that none of this is a criticism at all of the childcare program or the Sunday school. We love our teachers, and our kids love our teachers. We love our teachers, right? Kiddos? Okay, I hear all the time fantastic stories about our kiddos. And so the important thing for me to know, that you know, is that this is not criticism, but an acknowledgement that there is a separation between this building and what goes on with our kids over there. And that I see wonderful, loving faces in this room, and my kids don't know most of these faces. So, with that in mind, a few months ago, we were invited to this interim faith workshop. And my family was actually very far away that weekend. We were about 8 hours away, and I got the call that this was happening, and we got here. Because we wanted so badly to share some of the hopes that we have for this congregation. And so that is what I'm going to share with you some today, is what we, and it wasn't just me, there were numerous other young families who showed up and echoed these same desires for this amazing congregation. We really, really want people to know our kids' names. We want there to be friendships being built between the generations, from my family, myself and my husband, and older generations, myself and younger generations, from the youngest to the oldest. There is so much beauty in those connections. I hope that at some point, maybe my kids don't even want to sit with me on a Sunday because they got someone cooler to sit with. We are a place of love, and if there's anything that children need, is to be surrounded by love, and we can do that. And I acknowledge this looks so different for different ages. For littles, it can be a smile and saying their name. Maybe it's a playful joke. And that's it, right? Those are just little seeds that we're planting. With older kids, it's taking the time to get to know them, to know their struggles and their hopes and their fears, and building into those conversations. I still remember when I was 9 years old, in my home, my mom was hosting this, like, church group, and it had all different sorts of ages. And there was this woman there, her name was Juanita, and she was in her late 60s, and she kept reaching out to me. And I remember this, and I remember it feeling really awkward in the beginning, but I also felt really special. So, you know, I kind of balanced those two feelings, and throughout the years, we became incredibly close, and I remember by the time I was in middle school, and I was struggling, because middle school kids are, like, the meanest. And on top of that, you're starting to kind of struggle with connecting with your parents sometimes. And Juanita became someone I still remember. We would go on these long walks in the woods, and I would pour my heart out to her, my fears and my struggles and all these different things. And she would take the time to just listen and love on me and believe in anything that my dreams were. And my dreams were crazy at the time. I was living in Chicago, and for some reason, I wanted to be an attorney who worked for Native American rights. Makes no sense, but she kept telling me I could do it, whatever that meant. And you know what? I'm doing it. I am so grateful to that woman who took that time to pour into me. And I continued to know her as I grew older. And one of the things that I learned as an adult was that I wasn't the only one getting something from that relationship. She was getting things too, because her family, her kids and her grandkids were spread all throughout. And so that relationship, it fed me and it energized her. We both got so much out of that. So what I'm asking is that, first off, we acknowledge that we all can benefit, right? Like, sometimes it's a little messy leaning into these conversations, like your fingers could get dirty, because maybe you have to, like, paint some things or, you know, do something with snacks, I don't know. But we all benefit. And so one of the things that I'm asking is that we begin to work on the separation between this building and that one. The kids are going to share exuberance and joy in life with us, and we get to share support and love. And so I just am asking that we become a vibrant congregation that finds ways to dismantle the separation between these two buildings. And this church service today, I've had tears numerous times, is a fantastic way to start.
Okay, now we're going to do an embodied prayer, and I invite the children or the flexible who want to come and join us up here. And if you want to, you can do it in your seat as well. Everybody can kind of follow along. So for the kids, yeah, let's stand up. You get a little bit more space, be able to move your arms around. So we'll start and say, placing our feet on the earth, we stomp. We feel its energy, offering support and strength, relaxing us. Bringing our hands together in a prayer position, thumbs touching the heart, to the heart, to the spirit of life. Bringing our hands down, open palms up in a gesture of gratitude, we gratefully receive the gifts of this day. We receive what the future holds. Touching our palms back to back, fingers pointed to the sky, in a gesture symbolic of memory, we remember our past, grateful for all that has made us who we are. Placing our hands one over the other, over our heart, in a gesture recognizing our inner selves, we feel our emotions, gratefully feeling what is inside us in this moment. Extending our arms out, palms down, we reach for the good, the sacred, in a gesture symbolic of our yearning to connect, grateful to love and be loved. Bringing our arms to the sky, we give thanks for the air, for the sun, for the rain, grateful for the beauty of the universe. Coming down to touch the ground, we give thanks for the earth, for its bounty, acknowledging the harm we cause the earth and asking for forgiveness. Standing up, we bring our hands up to touch our forehead, to our mind's eye. We ask for clarity, grateful for wisdom and love. Bringing our hands out to the sides, we touch fingertip to those near us. Grateful for our community, those with us on our journey. We rejoice in our living and in that which connects us all. We breathe in and together call out in unison, Alleluia.
Alleluia.
I'm the other unsicker. My name is Warren. I also belong to Nikki, and these two belong to me. Hi, yeah. And I am here to talk about some of the ways that we can implement what Nikki and the others have been talking about in engaging with the youth, and likewise how they can engage with us, and how we can learn new things from them and just have new experiences through their eyes. And I want to tell a little story of something I experienced recently that kind of surprised and amused me. My daughter, as I was out cleaning up horse poop in our field, asked me, how much does that horse cost, Papa? And I gave her some round numbers, and she went about her business for a bit, and then came back and said, how much does a horse with a horn cost? I said, well, the exchange rate on mythical beasts is a little bit higher in that regard. And then we went about our business. Well, a day or two later, she was having a conversation with her mama, completely separate of this, and she said, you know, Mama, I know we've talked about going to Disneyland, but it's really expensive. And Mickey Mouse, he's really not that funny anymore anyway. And, you know, I could use some space from Elsa from Frozen. But I think we should be saving that money to put a down payment on that mythical one-horned beast that we were talking about. And so that, and just the amount of time and thought that was put into that financial planning to get what she was looking for... You know, you don't expect financial advice from a child. But those are the types of deep thoughts they're thinking that we don't always experience and get a chance to have bequeathed to us. And so it's engaging them where they're at and when they're at in their minds. And sometimes we might not fully understand all of it. We might not follow the crumbs that they've left behind. But it brings joy and it brings insight into the child, a mind of a child. And likewise, we can engage and bequeath to them such great things that they haven't experienced yet and that they're not going to experience for a while. And we have such historical knowledge we can bequeath to them. But it takes engaging them where they're at and being able to listen. Maybe it's just going out and pushing them on a swing and listening to them tell us about their day or asking them what their favorite snack is at coffee hour or even helping them pick the best fidget thing in the back of the room here. But don't be concerned if they crumple in a ball the first time you talk to them. If they hide behind our legs. Kids, do you sometimes hide behind your parents' legs when someone random comes up and talks to you? Yeah, a little bit. Just a bit, yeah. No, I wouldn't be surprised if you did it right now as I'm talking about you. But don't take that as an offense or something that they don't want to engage with you. Sometimes they may just crawl around on the floor while you're talking to them and give you one-word answers. But they love it, and they will take that in and see that you see them. And so, and then again, as Nikki was talking about, the things that you build into them and them being seen can mean the world to them, because in school, sometimes they don't get seen as much as they'd like to be. And their teachers are taking care of so many other kids. Having people single them out and give them some love, even just knowing their name and saying hi, can mean the world to them and can build into lifelong feelings of feeling supported. And, you know, you may have experience with siblings that they are struggling with that you have a little bit of back knowledge about or maybe still struggling with yourselves. And so take that time and don't be concerned if it doesn't go perfectly the first time. Keep at it and keep coming back to them. And they'll warm up and eventually they'll be running up to you and asking you about how your day went. So thank you all.
During our multi-part message today, we've held up this fellowship's pride in a history of vibrant children's ministry. We've come to know the deep longing that parents have for a community of faith and one of support. We've acknowledged the many spiritual gifts children offer us daily. During this interim year, we intend to embolden this fellowship to become radically welcoming to families and their children, to support parents as their primary religious educators and in their roles as parents, and to equip the next generation of Unitarian Universalists to change the world. Yes, we are suggesting doing things a bit differently here, but still being the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango, only better. I'd like to pull back up now to 35,000 feet and talk about our February theme of resilience by reframing it just a little bit. Let's think of resilience as the practice of trusting one step at a time. One step at a time as we move towards these goals. Now, I confess, I'm a book a week reader. But I bet some of you out there are a book a night reader. Kids, how many of you read a book every night? Yeah! Last month, I read Leah Cohen's Strangers and Cousins. And in one of her characters makes the following statement about change, trust, and resilience. She says, life is change. You can't outrun change. The point isn't to fight it, but to be curious, attentive to it, in dialogue with it, the ever-changing reality of change. To sing along with it, help make up new verses. I love that. Be attentive and in dialogue with change. Better yet, sing along. Make up new verses. That's what we're doing here during this interim year. We're making up new verses for our faith formation hymn. Singing some verses loudly, stumbling along slightly off key in the newer ones. How can we be so confident in the outcome of change that we feel comfortable making up new verses as we go along? So confident that we are happy to be a bit off key? Trust. Trust is at the foundation of any faith community, especially at a time of change. Trust that our staff and volunteers have the best intentions for our fellowship at heart. Trust that we will get there. Trust that we will learn new verses and eventually four-part harmony. And that this, your beloved faith community, will be a better faith community for these changes. So let's sing out loudly our pride in our fellowship's inclusiveness of children. Let's learn new verses that support the deep needs our young families have. And let's hum along with the spiritual gifts we receive from children in our casual interactions with them. Trust the practice of one step at a time, one verse at a time. Be curious, be attentive, be in dialogue with change, and make up new verses. Let it be so, and amen.
I think one of the things that I didn't get to say today, but that how simple it is starting a relationship with the kids. So Bonnie at one point volunteered in the kids program, and I'm telling you that Aurora treats her like she is a rock star. She blushes when she sees her and waves, and it's just like, and when Bonnie waves back, I mean, Aurora melts. Mm-hmm. So I think that sometimes it can be really hard to think, oh my gosh, how do we do all of this? But at the same time, it's really just as simple as showing up and participating in their world. And then, like, Aurora's convinced that Bonnie's her Val Pal because that's the adult she knows. And I kept hearing all about Bonnie and how it had, and it obviously, I knew it wasn't Bonnie. And so it was just so cute. And I was excited knowing that she was going to get to have another name and another person to treat like a rock star.
I had one congregant come up to me and say they had no idea what was going on in the Columbine House. And today's service helped them to understand that. How many of you understood what was happening over in the Columbine House? Or learned something? How many of you learned something today? Good, good. It's what church is. I mean, most people, when they join a congregation, they do it because they want the connections. And kids are no different. They want the connections too, and their parents help them make those connections.
Just tangential of what you were just asking. So education of me, I've just made assumptions at Columbine House when the kids are leaving was sort of a Sunday school of my youth. And I don't know, is that Is it, or is it more just sort of playtime, or is it a combination? I guess I'm just curious, you know, what happens there.
It is class, it is fellowship, it's all of those. This congregation subscribes to theme ministry. Every month we have a different theme, this month resilience. The kids do the same thing, that classes over there are echoed. So what you all are talking about in resilience over here, they're talking about resilience at their developmental age over there. And yet they do joys and concerns just like we do. They have opening words just like we do. They have closing words just like we do. And in between, there'll be a story, there'll be an activity, there'll be a game, something to help extend that theme. And then a few things we've added are in the last several months is that we have online resources so the parents can then extend those resources at home. Bedtime stories, games, different things, blessings that they can use to extend resilience at home. So it becomes a 7-day-a-week thing.
Can I just make a I'm sorry. Can I make a comment, which is I could not say the children's version, but one of the things I do love is there are posters of the children's versions of the seven principles of Unitarian Universalism. And I keep the grown-up version, this tiny little thing, by my bed, and I read one of them before I go to sleep because, you know, maybe something disturbing has happened. There's been some political thing or I've watched a bad movie or something. But I want that in my head just as I'm going to sleep. And what I find is I like the children's version better because it's easier for me to understand and it's just kind of more simple and to the point. And so I've written down the children's version because I actually find it more relevant to me as a senior citizen. So, and you were going to say something.
I like that too, what you just said. But the nugget that I got from today with one of the stories was the part about resilience is trust one step at a time. Hmm. That, to me, was pretty meaningful. And I'm not sure exactly how you would explain that to a child. I'm not sure how you would explain that to a child, but at least for an adult, for me, that was a real nugget I'm going to take away today.
I personally, my working with kids, and those of you that have kids living with you now, trust comes easily to a child. Wouldn't you say? So that's a gift that we can learn, we can relearn from them. I mean, as time goes by, we tend to trust a little less. And the fact that Aurora trusted that there is a unicorn in her future.
A horse with a horn.
That's the kind of wonder and awe that kids can lend to us and bring to us.
Thank you.
So it's Guillerme. And I grew up in a different setting because I wasn't from the Unitarian Universalist. I was raised as a Baptist. Mm-hmm. And we had classes for kids too. So it was separated from the sanctuary where the adults were. But at least twice a month, some of the adults needed to go hang out with the kids doing like theater or something like that, like mm-hmm. just making it more interactive. So I just actually wanted to know what was the idea on how you wanted to connect the two. Do you want just to bring the kids here or bring the adults there? Like what was expected?
As lovely as it is having children in the service, it's a lot of work as an adult in some ways, like you can't focus in the same way. So my hope would be that we find common ground outside of the church service, like the Val Pals thing, or love the idea of like theater, or you brought up music to me earlier. Finding ways where adults are maybe sharing their passions with kiddos that have those same passions would be wonderful. But yeah, any time that the adults, especially outside the service, can connect with kiddos is huge.
Oh, and what we have, prior to this, the adults ran the classes. They were the teacher each week. And that started to become a burden. So now we have staff that are, almost all of them are in training to become full-time teachers. They're all at the college. And but we still need a member of the congregation to sit in on that class and to fulfill our safety requirements of two adults in the class at all times. And also because having a member in the class of the congregation helps the children get to know that one person for a whole hour every week, a different person in there. And then they'll see them in coffee hour or walking around and, hey, how you doing? But it's so much easier. This is my pitch. It's so much easier to volunteer in classes because all you have to do is come and play. You don't. Yes, the sign-up is online or at the other end of Faith Formation at Durango UU, which is me. If you look on the website, it should be on there. And you just show up, and the teacher, the staff, will lead the lesson, and you will play the game. You will do the craft. You will help with the story. It's lots of fun, believe it or not.
You schedule it,
yes. You sign up. And happily, we are signed up pretty much through the end of this month, February, and we start having holes in March. And because of that question, I'm going to put it into the Friday email so everyone will have access to that sign up.
Great. As a parent, I just want to thank you both for this service, or you all. Sorry,
all five of us.
All five of you for this service because. Of course, one of the reasons that we're here is for our children. You know, I mean, I didn't go to UU before. I decided I needed something for my children that was in line with my values. So I really thank you for bringing this to the congregation's attention. And the other thing that was said, or maybe I just made it up so it fit with my narrative, but what I heard and what really resonated with me, and I was like, that's really it, is previously... I've wanted to volunteer on Sundays to be as with part of the kids or the older kids, but I found that after a week of being with my kids and my patients and all the craziness of the week, that I really need the service here to renew myself to be able to do these things again. And so what I kind of heard was maybe somebody acknowledging that the parents need help and support and that you can provide us with great support by giving us your support if you're not spending your week parenting in the classes, because it gives us a chance not to be parents for a little while. And it also allows our children to hear the values from other people other than us, because if we're volunteering over there, they're just kind of like, okay, yeah, my mom's here again telling me the same things. So I just want to say thank you to people who take the time to allow us to renew our souls from the week in Sunday service and spend time with our kids and let them hear the message from somebody other than us. So I've got a lot out of that and just wanted to say thank you for doing that and let you know that that's a big, big help to us as parents.
Amen.
I think the other thing that we had kind of touched on in the service and in our work through this committee is also inviting the kids into the social time more and having them, you know, stop their classes in time so that way they can be part of the social hour in the Bowman Hall and have a way for there to be less formal interaction as well. You know, some people might be scared about having to go in and be in the room with them for the whole lesson or whatever, but you can just casually have a 30-second conversation over a piece of a donut in Bowman Hall. And it goes a really long way for the kids to be acknowledged and start to grow those connections that you, hey, I know that guy. Or I know that person. I've seen them before. We've talked. It goes a long way. They have great memories for that type of stuff.
Thanks, Mike.
So real quick, the 30 seconds here or there, I always think of it as like the planting the seeds, and that the next time they see you, they'll be like a little less shy and a little less shy and a little less shy. At one point, after we had our workshop,
There were some board members at the workshop, and they were handing out the programs. Yeah, when we came in, and they both said, "Oh, hi, Henry. Hi, Aurora." And you should have seen like my kids like stop and light up. Like they didn't even have a conversation or anything like that, but just to be known was huge to them. And the other thing that I want to say real quick is we are starting a book. The Healing Racism team is starting a book read for White Fragility in March, and it's once a month. The specific dates, I think it's March 8th, and then there are specific dates. But one thing we're really excited about with that is we are going to have a time where the kids get to come in and participate in the conversation, and they'll participate for, you know, 15, 20. So we're going to have a potluck. Sorry. Let me start over. We'll start with like a potluck. And so everybody, all generations can be together. Then we will have like 15, 20 minutes where the kids can participate in the dialogue. And then they'll get to go off into child, you know, to play. And we'll continue our talk. But we are trying to find ways to bring the kiddos into these important conversations. And also getting to hear their perspectives is really interesting in these.
So Nikki mentioned that piece about how her children responded to hearing being greeted by their names. And so I just want to hold that up, that using names is a really powerful piece that we can all try to do in greeting each other, adult to adult or adult to child. And the children are wearing name tags as well. So for those of us who can read, we've got it made in using the kids' names. So I just encourage you all to think about that as you're greeting each other as we arrive to service, and then during our fellowship time, we quite naturally use each other's names, but we need to think about, oh yeah, we can use the kids' names too. So,
and if they're not wearing a name tag, because they frequently aren't, you can always say, "Hey, where's your name tag?" But without being judgmental, or like, "I'd like to know your name. Can you tell me your name? By the way, those are cute shoes." Whatever. Yeah.
One thing I think I mentioned, sorry, I have a concussion, so I don't remember who I told. I think I told you, Nikki, right? So one thing I was wondering is, or proposing to for consideration, is that bulletin board that's right outside the bathrooms. That has just kind of some news, but wondering if maybe putting up a picture of each child with their first name and their interests / activities bulleted right under it might be a way to allow folks waiting for a bathroom break to just kind of look and see maybe some of the faces and names of children, and if parents consented. That could just familiarize people with the children and maybe give them a little snippet like, "Hey, Ellie, how's gymnastics going?" You know? So maybe that's a way to have them be ever present. And then the other thing was, is way back when my daughter is sort of interested in singing. And so she ended up doing the Durango choir a little bit. But before that, I talked to Liza about her interest in the choir, and Liza invited her to come to the adult choir rehearsal. And I think when we had a different choir director for a little time, I talked to her about incorporating the children into choir. The unfortunate thing about the adult choir practice is that it's at 7:30 to 8:30, which is kind of pushing it for, or 7 to 8, it's kind of pushing it for the kids after a big day of school and activities. We kind of like to get them home by then. So just throwing out the idea that maybe incorporating them into a special rehearsal or something for them to perform one time with the Diversitones or something.
It's in the works. And no more football for you, by the way.
No more football.
Oh, your concussion.
Yes.
It was a Super Bowl.
So I may be repeating somebody. I just came in and I apologize. But I love the idea. And it seems to me there are songs where you could have somebody, maybe from the chorus, working with, separately, working with the kids, and then having them come together for a rehearsal before they sing. But I think it's a fabulous idea. And singing means so much to me. and I didn't sing as a kid. So I just think it would be wonderful if we could work something out like that.
Thank you for that. There have been some wonderful suggestions that have come out of this service today, so thank you for that. The first thing when I walked into the coffee hour, the people that are usually there for hospitality said, "We're doing a Sunday." And I said, "What's that?" And she said, "We're going to do Sundays on Sunday for the kids." And I said, "That's a great idea."
I'm Richard. Years ago, I was a member of a group in Boulder and in Denver, a religious group. And there was a group of us who used to have sing-alongs where we got together and sang. And we had families who came, and the kids played, and the kids sang, and so forth. I miss those like crazy. Mm-hmm. And it'd be fun to do that again. And for me, it'd be fun to learn some new songs because I like all the old songs from the 60s. But just an informal kind of get-together. I don't know how we'd organize it. Maybe it would happen somehow. And secondly, the same group used to have what they called family. I forgot the exact name. We used to get together once a month as a group of families, families and kids. It just had supper at somebody's house. We didn't always get to interact with the kids because sometimes they wanted to go and play, but we tried hard to interact with them. So it was another informal kind of thing that we did. I've noticed that our family supper, our circle suppers, generally discourage families, I think. At least that's what I was told.
Good.
Because I for one, would love to know some more, get to know the kids some more.
So that reminds me that the Fosters have a karaoke machine. Just saying. Karaoke night.
Karaoke.
So, Richard, just to speak to you on that. So when we first joined, we were told that the circle suppers were not for children, and I have been a very squeaky wheel saying, like, seriously, everybody come to my house. Let's have intergenerational stuff. They had one recently here at the church that was intergenerational, but I'm wondering if more people who are willing to host would be willing to also say, I'm willing to host and I would love if children are invited, because I think there's concern of like having children at a house, you know, children are children and will people be comfortable with that? So I'm wondering if more people who are hosting are willing to say, hey, and I want multi-generation, and I think that'd be awesome.
And
thank you.
And as a follow-up to that, I know that some people are concerned because they would love to have children there, but their home maybe not suitable for children. I think you could probably host it here. If you wanted to have your circle supper here at Bowman Hall, you just need to reserve it.
And we also do a family breakfast once a month. We don't have a family dinner because we found it hard to get people to come from further away. But every month, the first Sunday of the month, normally we would have a breakfast before the service in the morning. It's open to all families. Yes, yeah. And you don't have to have kids to come, for sure. Yeah.
And the organizers have talked about quarterly having that in Bowman Hall. So it would be families and open to all.
Just a little FYI to you guys, we do have two hosts. I'm one of them who have specifically said that I am willing any month to host a family-friendly circle supper. I would have to do it here in Bowman because I live in a tiny apartment. But anytime there is a family that's interested, all you have to do is request that I would like a family-friendly host. And we have folks standing by ready. Yeah, we have several folks standing by ready and willing and want to incorporate families into Circle Supper.
So how does one get invited or involved in Circle Supper?
You would just, the email, you can actually sign up from our website. You can go to our website and either do a search on Circle Supper, and or you can email Jeannie at information@durangouu.org, I think is what it is, and Jeannie will put you on the list, and every month you'll receive an invitation to Circle Supper. And as I say, we have made provisions. There's lots of folks on the membership team who really want to see families integrated into Circle Supper as well as all other things here at the church.
Awesome. And I want to wrap this conversation up. Obviously, you've stirred up a lot of interest and inspiration about this, which I think is part of the goal. One last question to you, or maybe to the whole team, Sarah, is we've been throwing out ideas, and are you the repository of those ideas, or is there, how can we, I think we could sit here for another couple hours and generate ideas. I think people are interested in more opportunities to bridge these generational gaps or age gaps or whatever they are. Can you just describe what would be the best repository or way to move forward with that?
The team that presented the worship service today is also the team that is moving forward on these ideas, the interim faith formation advisory team. And we meet online on one Wednesday of the month. And if you send any, all of you that because this time on Sunday, if you've been in here since 8 o'clock, which many of us have, it goes in one ear and out the other. Not because we don't care, but we're tired. So if you could send me an email at faithformation@durangouu, and that address is also on the website, I'll make sure that your ideas get to the interim team as we're planning for the last 6 months of this interim year.
Great. Well, thank you all so much. This was an inspirational meeting, and we can continue these conversations, I believe. But I want to be respectful of folks' times, and it is high noon. So thank you.
Oh, 30 seconds. My okay. Quick question is just in terms of I love having you here, and you've been so great, and I know that your time will come to an end. Mm-hmm. How are we planning for someone to take your place? I mean, like, are we interviewing? What are we doing?
We have just last week or the week before, we have appointed a search team. And they will start meeting about monthly between now and March. And they will put together a job description, a marketing plan to search for the person, and begin that search in April in hope that we will have a settled director of faith formation here for you by July. That is the starting in March, that's the change partners time for UU staff. Ministers, religious educators, everybody.
Does that come anywhere nationally or internationally?
Yes, it can. We're making recommendations. I just sent a report to the board last month with my recommendations about what that person should be doing and the hours. And then it's up to them to add that to the budget or not. And
it's up to the congregation to fund that through our pledges. Which is, pledge campaign is coming up. So if we want to see our faith formation program beefed up, that's going to depend upon the success of our pledge campaign.
And since it's not a secret, the report was to the leadership team, leadership council. I'm recommending a full-time director of faith formation. If you want a lifespan position with this number of kids and this interest in doing full fellowship, the whole thing, you need somebody full-time. And that will make it a national search. If we can get up to that beginning of level for a full-time person.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is if this is important to us, how do we let the board know it's important?
Do we have board members here? I don't know the answer to that.
Find a board member and talk to them, yeah.
How do we know who they are?
Or do we ask as a congregation, you know, do you want to fund a part-time, full-time, and here's why we suggest full-time, and maybe the congregation, because I would imagine the board will vote on that.
And so that will be specified within the budget.
But I would assume before the budget is put forth, we'd want to be able to say that this is important to us.
Absolutely.
Is there a budget review meeting before the budget is adopted? That would be the time, too, to
actually,
be present.
Sooner rather than later.
Today. Thank you all so much for your ideas and enthusiasm and your talents. It was great.
Thank you for being flexible.